Check, check, check. Hello, 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 hello. You are listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 107.1 and 91.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. And if you are listening on Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026, you have tuned in to a live broadcast of Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. Not only that, we are live from the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. And not only that, I have the one, the two, the only Pizza Johnnies are in the house tonight.
Hootie hoo.
Test the mic.
Am I there? Am I there?
You're there. You're there.
Hootie hoo. Hootie hoo.
Let's hear Ms. Pizza Johnny
hello,
over there.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. Hello. So, yes, I it's good to see you both on a nice summer evening.
It's finally t-shirt weather in Portland.
It's t-shirt weather, yeah. It's a really nice, beautiful summer night. So I wanted to say right off the bat that the Pizza Johnnies are here, and we are on the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. You're welcome to come say hello, or please text us. We love text messages on this show, and I always, until I get that first text message, I'm never really sure if our broadcast is going out into the world. So please send a text message to 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. Just tell me if you can hear this radio show, if you're a regular listener, or if not even, we like to just do like a roll call at the beginning of the show. Just tell us who you are, where you're listening from, what you're doing. We love to talk about sex, drugs, and basketball, but we'll talk about anything on this show. somebody, we got our first text. It says, I can't hear this radio show.
Without giving anything away about where you are, could you tell us where the 518 area code is?
I know where that is. But I think that's like upstate New York.
Oh, okay. Oops, state New York.
Okay, I hear ya, but am I rocking with ya? Yeah, I'm rocking with ya. This is a different text. Good. Okay, that's good to hear that people are hearing this this show. Hello, 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 Arthur and Mr. and Mrs. Pizza Johnny. That's from Genderbones.
Hi. Oh, hello, hello. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Genderbones, did you go to Alaska yet? I want to hear everything about the trip.
That's right. I think Genderbones, I feel like she hasn't gone yet. But she was preparing to go, but maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, yes, Genderbones, and these two people that texted before, I'm not sure I know who you are. Well, so if you've never texted the show before or you've never heard the show, people often give themselves nicknames like the Pizza Johnnies or Genderbones. You can also just call yourself whatever your name is, or just be anonymous. But if otherwise, we just read your text anonymously.
But tell us what people call you.
Yeah. What do people
what do
call,
they call
you?
Yeah.
So yeah, and the number is 971-220-5979. I feel better now that people have texted in, so I know that we're at least on the air. So Pizza Johnny's, what inspired you to come to the radio show tonight?
I'm looking at her because I kind of want to make her talk a little bit.
Why you're going to make me talk. It's been a while, and we've been trying to come out. And so, yeah, we decided to see if if we weren't going to miss you, because I feel like we always mess this up.
That's true.
Yeah, and we nailed it. So.
We did. There's been, yeah, haven't there been times when you've come here and I've been, like, in my closet at home or,
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was, I'm glad that we like, timed it up right, because, yeah, or I've been out of town or something like that. And you all live out in Estacada, for people that don't know.
It's a pretty long drive.
Or we get flooded out on our way here.
Oh, that's right.
Or, you got, yeah, there's always something.
At a high water crossing.
So, and then you also, now you have a new dog in your life.
We have Potato.
Potato.
Yeah.
Frequent listeners to this show will know who Potato is, but tell us who Potato is.
It's been almost 9 months now. We picked him up at the Multnomah County Animal Shelter, the one that's in Gresham. And they name all of the pit bulls that come in there after different potatoes. And we were there to look at one that was called Tornado Potato. And Tornado Potato, unfortunately, just wasn't interested in humans at all. But there was another cute pit bull, and he was interested in the pepperonis and the cheese that I brought. And he was much more friendly, and he came out into the test drive yard, and he kind of, like, rubbed on our legs a little bit and showed a lot of affection. And I was like, okay, we could probably take this potato. So, yeah, we took him home and named him Potato because he was already kind of a potato anyway, And
he looks like a russet potato. He's like russet potato colored.
A russet potato. Well, I look forward to meeting him someday.
One day you will. Yeah, we'll do a drive-by potato.
Been talking about doing a drive-by. But, yeah, so there's something that I learned about Potato is, like, Potato can't be around other dogs at all? Or
no. So far.
Potato is very nervous about everything happening around him. So, like, at home, he's great. But, like, the world is out to get him. So, in public, he's a little...
What happens
more
if
worried, and so if there's another dog, then he gets really, like, he barks, and he gets really high-pitched squealing, and it's not necessarily, like, aggressive or anything. It's just, like, he's so emotional, he doesn't know what to do, because he doesn't know if that dog is going to come after him or be friendly or whatever, and so because he's scared, he gets very loud.
Well,
very loud, and sings a very sad song.
What happens if a stranger comes into your house? Like, would Potato attack them or be friendly?
No.
Well, I mean, depending on their energy. But when we have friends over, we just generally tell them, like, the cheat code is that you have to say his name. You got to, like, sound like a big idiot and go, "Hi, Potato," and then you give him a treat, like a piece of popcorn or something, and he realizes that you're on his side.
And that's something.
That's all it takes.
So you feed Potato popcorn. Is it like in honor of J-Hop's feeding his crows popcorn? Is that right?
Maybe not in honor of, but it's just a really good idea.
But that's where you got the idea. Let's move.
Yeah, it's really inexpensive, and you can make a whole lot of it. And for the longest time, we were feeding our crows pepperonis, like sliced Hormel pepperoni from the grocery store. And that's like $5 a pound, man. They love it, and it works on dogs too, but it's kind of expensive. But this dog, having come from the shelter and who knows where before that, he loves kibble in a way where it's like one grain of kibble is a treat to Potato. We go out on walks and we use kibble and popcorn and other, you know, higher and lower value treats to keep his attention.
He's a really good dog. He just, he's trying to figure out the world. Like, he didn't really have, you know, people or...
Yeah.
We're also kind of highly neurotic owners.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm sure our personality types feed into that a little bit, but I don't know.
That's interesting too. I don't think of you guys as neurotic, but
I think of myself that way.
All right, let me read some text messages. This says, "Coming through loud and clear, Arthur." Thank you for that message. I really do appreciate when people tell me that. This says, "Call me whatever you want, but don't call me late for dinner." Good one.
Oh, I see the thing that says potato. I want to say that's from Lord of the Rings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that from Lord of the Rings? Potato?
Yeah.
Really? Okay. Well, there you go. That person is just known as not late for dinner. Okay, well, Yeah, and so if you would like to text this show, it's 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. You text it. We will read it out loud over the radio. We have the Pizza Johnnies here. If you're not familiar with the Pizza Johnnies, you guys have been listening to this show almost as long as Gold Gay, I believe, is the longest active texter on this show, but you guys are close second.
And do we not count AP anymore because he moved away?
Well, yeah, AP would count, although AP did text a little while ago, so I guess he does.
Good on him for remembering us.
Yeah.
From halfway around the world.
AP lives in Bangkok or something? Is that right?
I think so, yeah.
Is that where he moved? Yeah, kind of crazy. He just moved all the way to Thailand. Okay. And then this person said, yeah, boy. okay. Thanks for that text, too. Well, there's lots to talk about here. We have the Pizza Johnnies. We also like to talk about sex, drugs, and basketball. We usually talk about basketball first. This week, if you follow basketball, which I don't think either the Pizza Johnnies do, but an exciting thing that happened in Portland is that Portland traded for Ja Morant, who this kind of fits into the sex and drugs part of the show because Ja Morant is like a known kind of like troublesome quality. Like basically the Memphis Grizzlies kind of like gave him away to Portland. Not gave him away, but he used to be a huge star, was one of the best players in the league. Then he had all these legal problems. He was like showing a handgun on Instagram Live, and he did similar something else with a gun at a strip club in Denver, and there was like pictures leaked out of him. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I was wondering if that was the guy that did that and then shot himself, but I guess not because I figured
he didn't shoot himself. Okay. But he keeps having these. He sort of sounds like he just had a posse in Memphis, and they carry guns, and they like to take him out, and that's like you're not allowed to do that in general, but you're especially not allowed to do that if you're an NBA player. Like that goes against the code of conduct. So he was suspended for a while, and then he just really never came back after that as that well. And so the Grizzlies were trying to get rid of him basically, and Portland inexplicably picked him up. So he's coming to Portland, and it's a really crazy move. I'm not sure if anyone wants to talk about bringing Ja Morant to Portland. He was an amazing player, like a spectacularly fun player to watch. I don't think those days are, he still has that spring in his step. But we'll see. We'll see. Portland will be his testing ground. Yeah. And then someone texted bringing back the Jailblazers. Yeah. And there were like, there were people, that was a common comment. Was like, are they trying to bring back the Jailblazers here? And I don't think so. We also have Damian Lillard, but it's kind of a weird move. I mean, this new owner sounds like a real charmer, you know, I do. We talked about this last week on the show, but if anyone wants to talk Blazers, now's your chance, and then we'll probably move into sex and drugs more. Okay, we got a text that says, this is Eggman. I regret to inform you I will be starting a rivalry show called Chastity, Sobriety, and Racquetball. No, that's okay. We need a friendly rival. Racquetball is Chastity and Sobriety. It's funny because we do, I mean, you know, we can talk about Chastity and Sobriety under the
chastity can be romantic if you pull it off properly, if you apply it well.
Chastity is romantic? You mean?
Yeah,
like
if you apply it to others.
Explain that to me.
You've never seen chastity underwear?
Oh, like you wear like chastity belts and stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't.
Miss Pizza Johnny.
We don't.
No, I do.
But you apply it to, you make someone else
you
wear
make
it.
Someone else wear it like uh-huh. as a dominant sort of thing.
I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, is it, does it have like a lock on it or something? Like,
it can.
They usually uh-huh. do, yeah, especially yep. if it's a male or a penis having person, I guess is the right way to say it.
So have you ever made someone wear a chastity underwear? No.
I have not.
No. Oh. I have not.
You both, I thought you were going to, the way that you were bringing that up, it sounded like you had experience with it.
No, it just made me think of both of the apparatuses, both the male version and the female version of the apparatus.
The male version. Yeah, it is kind of crazy. I always associate it with like medieval behavior, but I guess you could.
There are people doing it right now, right here in River City.
The idea that like, if you were to be, you're like going out of town and you want your like young wife to like not have sex with other guys, so you put this like belt on her that she can't take off. Like, to me that's,
there's logistical questions, like how do you use the bathroom and, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, yeah. And just the whole thing seems like incredibly silly to me, because if someone put a chastity belt on me, then like it just, then yeah, the idea would be that you would have sex if you weren't wearing this
well,
belt.
Okay, so if you think about penis having individuals wearing something that prevents them from handling their penis at all, or maybe we should wait until after 10 to talk about this, but it's
yeah,
more about
right.
the
you can't master
yeah you can't
either.
Do anything to please yourself. It's
okay,
your only pleasure then comes from the person who allows you to have pleasure at certain times.
Okay. Well, it is true that if you don't, you know, if you don't have sex for a long time and then you do have sex, it's really hot and sexy. So maybe there's something to it there. This is a text. It says, things are moving in reverse. Well, oh, this is J-Hop. I was like, what are we talking about? This is J-Hop's. It says, things are kind of moving in reverse. While I still feed the crows popcorn, I've been buying these super cheap sausage-shaped dog treats. Now the crows meet me at the bus stop.
Oh, that's amazing.
This morning they brought their young with them, so I feed them that while I'm walking from the bus stop.
Yeah, okay. It's definitely the right time of year. I can hear them in our neighborhood, the little baby.
The fledglings.
Yeah, the baby turds.
So you,
Squawkers.
So J-Hops is now feeding super cheap sausage shaped dog treats to the crows. I didn't really realize crows were such carnivores.
They will eat anything.
They will eat anything, yeah. And the other thing is, like, okay, so it's this time of year and they have young that they need to feed, so they're a little bit more brave of taking food from people, especially people that they know have given them treats before. They will, yeah, they'll come more often, they'll get more treats, they will bring you their young so that they can learn to, like, feed and recognize good behavior. we've helped, what was it, 4 or 5 years of fledglings with our crow. Our crow is now gone, but...
But now you have the fledglings?
Now we have their offspring.
We have their offspring that come by, and they're not as interactive as Floof was with us, but... But yeah, they will. And then once they're a little bit older and they go away, then that pattern will die down until they start nesting again. And then you'll see them and you're like, oh, they must be nesting. Yeah. So after you see this pattern a few times.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, the reason.
Get yourself a crow family.
The reason, if you're listening and you. J-Hops is, he drives a cab for Radio Cab, but he drives at night. And so then he takes the bus home to his home. Like at dawn, I guess, and that's when he feeds the crows. That's the image. Genderbones wrote a long text here about the Alaska trip. It says, I was supposed to go on the cruise, but didn't. My parents came here as planned, and we got 2 days of visiting, but my dad was in bad shape. My sister called me the day before my parents flew here to let me know that my dad was having a very hard time breathing and couldn't walk much. It was shocking to see my dad the next day. He really couldn't breathe well, and he couldn't really walk much. He shockingly died the day before the trip was supposed to be.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was the one who found him, and I called 911, and I had to get him onto the floor and perform CPR for the first time on a person, my amazing dad. My mom and I were freaking out as calmly as I could all day in the ER and in the ICU. It was the worst. I'm sorry for the downer. It's very new to me, and I'm really in it. My son and I went to New York, and my sister was super toxic towards me and the other family members, but all sweet to the neighbors. It was sickening, really. Wow.
Yeah. I'm so sorry to hear that.
That's a real bummer. Now, you can be as downer as you want to be, because that's real life stuff, and we all have to go through that. And yeah, I'm sorry that you did.
Yeah, I'm still processing... So, What a scene. So your parents showed up. You were going to go on this cruise, but your dad showed up and was like in bad shape, was having trouble breathing. And then you walk in. You were the one who found him. Was he just like lying on the floor, like in the living room? Like where? And then you did to do CPR on your dad. But so when you did CPR, did that bring him back to life? Like what, that's amazing. I'm just like amazed. Well, thanks for that story. I'm really sorry that happened. I mean, it's nice that you got to be with him, you know? Like, I'm always worried my dad he's getting older and he lives across the country and I love him so much and I really hope that I get to, you know, I want to see him, obviously, while he's alive, but I really would be sad if he died and I wasn't nearby. This is another... This is a text from... PDX Hoops. PDX Hoops said, I'm looking forward to this new-look Blazer squad. Four guards that can all finish and dish. If the chemistry can get there, it might be incredible. PDX Hoops. Good to hear from you, PDX Hoops. He plays in my basketball league. I play against him sometimes. And I don't know if I agree. Like, there's not enough... You hear this term a lot in basketball, that there's just not enough ball to go around for, you know, like, you have players like Damian Lillard, Denny Avdija, and Drew Holiday, and so it's like, those guys already are players that need to have the ball in their hand a lot in order to score the way they do. And that's also what Ja Morant, like, you can only have so many of those ball dominant players. And so I'm not sure there's enough, like, I think they're going to have to move. Like, you also have Scoot Henderson who plays guard. So I think the Blazers have to, like, they have to keep trading people or this roster really doesn't make sense. Like, you have too many guards, basically. And I don't know. I'm confused. Like, I love Ja Morant. I think he's a legendary player, but, like, I'm confused why Portland, like, wanted to take him on right now. Like, he has a very expensive contract, and nobody else wants him. And it just seems like a weird move, you know, when you've got young players you're trying to develop. Pizza Johnny calls it an aperitif. He's definitely had one. Sorry. Do you know what they're talking? He's talking about.
No, I'm curious though.
He calls it an apparent. Does that mean he's talking about the dog treats? And this same person also made a comment when we were talking about Ja Morant. Said we needed another guard who doesn't play defense. At least it's an open carry state. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's the other problem with Ja Morant is he doesn't really play defense, and that's. What Damian Lillard, like, he's a famously amazing explosive offensive player, but he doesn't, his defense is really not very good. And that's the same with Ja Morant. So you can't play the two of them together at the same time. So that's tricky. This texter says, Chastity Belt is a great band. I think I've heard of them. I don't know their, music, but I feel like I've heard of them.
Maybe that's what the aperitif was. The Chastity Belt is like foreplay, maybe?
Pizza Johnny calls it an aperitif. He's definitely had one. I feel like it's talking about the dog treats, but I don't know. Tell us what you were talking about there. Tall Tim texting says, I really think we're going to see the best of Ja, but he has to adjust to the game and share the ball instead of just driving into the lane. With a bunch of similar guys, I think we can have an offense that wears you out with multi-prong attacks. Okay, well, that would be an exciting... I like that people have these opinions about Ja Morant. I mean... People are definitely going to pay attention to the Blazers because Ja Morant is such like a, he's a famously, like, he's a colorful player. Maybe he embraces Portland and Portland embraces him and he has like it's a comeback story, you know, a redemption story. That would be an amazing thing. So we'll see. Okay, Tall Tim says, we gave up one B level and one C level player for an A level player. Easy win. Well, I agree. The Blazers didn't give up too much. They gave up Jeremy Grant and Chris Murray, I believe is his name. But the thing is, I don't really know if Ja Morant is really an A-level player. That's what I would say. It's like he's not really, you can't really say he's an A-level player anymore. He was an A-level player. He's not really that anymore. The past few two seasons, he has not been an A-level player. And Jeremy Grant has like, he kind of is like, it's the same contract. Like they have these really expensive contracts and Jeremy Grant is more like, the worry is that he would be corrosive it's a risk. He'd be corrosive in the locker room and things like that. But we'll see what happens. This text says, did you know there are hawks you never see in Manhattan because they nest high up on the buildings that hunt crows and other birds by dive bombing off the buildings, reaching speeds of up to 120 miles per hour and just snatching them right out of the air. Very metal. Do you know about these hawks?
I hope they do that to pigeons and not crows, but I'm willing to believe it happens to everybody who's around.
I've heard that sometimes that there's like people will be eating in restaurants in Manhattan and there's these red-tailed hawks that I know that live kind of near Central Park and they would like be eating a pigeon like right on the windowsill right outside. And that can be, but I didn't know about this 120 mile an hour.
But that's what pigeons are for.
Yeah. There's not that many crows in Manhattan. It's more pigeons. But maybe.
The crows of Portland are the best.
The crows of Portland. By the way, I didn't really get to talk about this last show, but I was, and it's been a while, but just I need to say it's like I was in New York City when the Knicks won the championship, which was like an amazing experience. I loved seeing that. So that's just another basketball related thing. It was really fun. Like I was working like in Midtown Manhattan that night, and then we all watched the game. Everybody was watching the Knicks. It was like the whole city was just captivated by the Knicks, and then they won. The night they won, we just walked from like Times Square all the way down Manhattan. That's a few miles down, and it was just the whole way was like just people out in the streets partying and yelling and dancing. It was really fun. I've never seen New York like that. Okay. Anything more about the Hawks in Manhattan?
No. I'm good on Hawks.
I'm good.
Okay. So the person who said aperitif said, sorry, that was an autocorrect, Pizza Johnny, called the chastity belt an apparatus.
Oh, that's an apparatus.
Oh, that is an apparatus, yeah.
Agreed.
Way too professional for the casual observer. So that your autocorrect corrected apparatus to aperitif?
I mean, I like them both, but...
Okay.
I like any kind of like piece of sexual equipment that comes across as an apparatus is a good piece of equipment.
An apparatus.
Yeah, because it makes you think like a piece of gymnastics equipment, like the pommel horse is an apparatus.
Wait, but you've never worn a chastity belt yourself? Is that correct?
Me, no.
Okay.
Neither of us have.
So, okay.
But a pommel horse makes a really good, like, sexual apparatus. You are correct.
A pommel... Have you had sex on a pommel horse?
I have not, no.
You just...
But I'm thinking, like, you could do, like, some good, like, bondage or shibari or something on a
it
pommel
does
horse.
Look
it's not 10
bondage.
O'clock yet, so maybe we should save this for later.
Just getting down. This text says weed is legal in Oregon. This is about Ja Morant. He'll be fine. He's 10 years younger than Dame, who signed off on the deal. That's a good point that Dame signed off on the deal because Damian Lillard is famously like just a really like level-headed, not a volatile, like good leader. And so, if John Morant was the leader of the Memphis Grizzlies and kind of like went off the reservation over there. And so, but if he's agreeing to like sort of like work with Damian Lillard, then that's a good sign. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, is John Morant, is he going to be like, you know, going to strip clubs in Portland? I mean, Portland is a famous strip club town, and is it going to be a lot of temptation for him? I mean, I don't know. Eggman says, between Morant and the IDF guy, we got a lot of shooters on the team. Ooh. Ouch. You're referring to Denny Avdija, who I think is unfairly, criticized. He is Israeli, and I think he's, every Israeli youngster has to be in the IDF, so it's not like he's openly supporting genocide or anything. Okay. My favorite bird, is the osprey. This same person say, I see them, diving for fish on the rivers and off the coast. Osprey are pretty awesome. You see them on the Columbia River too. You ever see osprey? Do you know what they are?
I remember them more from Florida, when we would go boating in Florida, wherever there was like a power pole, they would make nests at the top.
Yeah. If you go to like Broughton Beach area in Portland, there's some osprey nests on the Columbia. And yeah, you can watch them and they just dive bomb and they get fish. It's really fun to watch. Super, super exciting birds. Okay. Another text. We're getting a lot of bird texts tonight. It says, this is J-Hop says, there's a red-tailed hawk in my neighborhood and I've watched the crows run him off dozens of times. Crows are kind of like a biker gang of the sky that you bent together and take over.
Yeah, they call it mobbing.
Mobbing. The crows are mobbing. Well, it's a murder of crows, right? Isn't that the term for them?
It is. Thank you. I'm sorry.
But they are like sort of a biker gang. I've seen crows sort of gang up on another bird. Uh-oh. Rose just dropped something.
I feel like that was my fault. I gave her too many things.
It's okay. Genderbones. Okay, wait. We have a follow-up, too. So, yeah, Genderbones told us a very moving story about her dad just died. This is a sort of part two text. It says, I had called my dad to see if he and my mom wanted me to come over and help them get over to my house. He said no, and that my mom was off renting a wheelchair for him for the cruise. She called while I was on the phone with my dad. I told him to hold on. My mom let me know that the hotel door was propped open and my dad would call me if he needed me. My dad hung up meanwhile. So I called him back and he didn't answer. I didn't want him to be alone, so I went right over. I found him not breathing and his heart not beating. The 911 dispatcher counted me through doing CPR until the paramedics arrived and took over. My dad's heart did start up a few times during the day, but he never came to, and he didn't make it. Wow. What a story. You got right over there. So you guys were going to go on the cruise. Your mom was off getting a wheelchair so he could go on this cruise. And then, so you had to call the cruise line and be like, sorry, we can't go on the cruise because one of us died.
I think it makes a lot of sense that no matter what age you are, traveling is very stressful on you, both mentally and physically. And if he was, you know, not in great shape to begin with, just the stress of travel may have put him into that situation. So it's kind of a bummer because you don't think about it when you're going to go do something fun like that. But yeah. We've done this trip with our parents, and they're elderly. And watching them try and work their way through an airport and get their way on and off of a boat, like it really does show you, you know, how much less capable they are now than they used to be. And yeah. It's kind of sad.
So you guys, you took your parents on a cruise as well?
We did, yeah. Uh-huh. We took my dad and his mom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And my mom likes to brag that she's in great shape and likes to go to exercise classes all the time, and she'll spin kick your head off. But the reality of what we saw is that she, you know, she's an old lady. She's slowed down. There's no way around that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and when you're in your own environment and you're used to doing the same things, you perform a little bit better because you can, like, know what's going to happen next and what an outcome is going to be. But when you're in a new environment and you're traveling and you're tired and you're walking more and you're doing all of these things, it really takes a toll on you. So
yeah, but I think an important thing to mention is not to blame yourself for this, because it sounds like you went through something that was very difficult and you did your absolute best with that situation. And it's very hard, especially to have to perform CPR on someone that you care about very much, as opposed to even like a stranger. Either way, it's not easy. So, you know, definitely feel for you.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking, I guess, yeah, it's probably also good it didn't happen on the boat. Like, that would have been a whole nother hassle.
It would have been very expensive, because medical care on the boat is crazy expensive. They will charge you for every last bit of it.
Okay, let me see what we've got here.
There's something about pegging Pizza Johnny. Can we go back to that one?
oh, yeah, this is, okay, it says, wait, hold on. This person said pigeons equal rats of the air.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'm looking for, where did you see pegging Pizza Johnny?
It must have gone to the bottom. They probably sent something else along with it. Yeah. I saw that one. It was like saving it in the back of my mind.
It's coming up. Right. It's coming up. This says, occasionally in the winter, there's a hawk patrol in downtown Portland to keep the crows that roost there in check. It's a wildlife official that patrols the street with a hawk perched on their arm.
That's a pretty cool job.
Wait, do they let the hawk, like, actually go out and attack the crows? Or they just...
I think they just
scares them.
Them.
Yeah. It just, like, shoos them away. Interesting. Okay. This texture says, is this a good want-to-have-sex proposal? And... mind if I slip off your apparatus?
You could just say proposal.
yeah, it's a good... mind if I slip off your apparatus? Okay, here's the... Okay. This says, y'all, an aperitif is like an after-dinner drink.
I think it's actually a before-dinner drink, isn't it?
Is it after or before? Oh, we've got some people coming over. And then it says, also, I pegged Pizza Johnny once at Steam.
That's a goddamn lie. I've never been to Steam. But I am curious about, what's the other one? It's not Steam. Steam is like 100% gay. They don't allow anyone female identifying in there.
Okay.
But there's one that's mostly gay and has guys and girls a couple nights a week. I can't remember the name of it. What's the one that's not Steam? But it's like a
Hawks.
Hawks. That's what it is. Hawks. Shout out to Hawks.
okay. We have some visitors who've come, and I want to say hi to them. And then the same person sent a picture of, says J-Hop and his AV and crew. Okay. Well, so this person claiming to have pegged you at Steam is a false claim.
Yeah, I haven't been to Steam. It sounds like a nice place, but I can't bring my lady with me, so I haven't been.
Okay. and then this texter says, I think the Hawk Patrol keeps them away from certain streets or buildings.
That would make sense, yeah. And, like, the Portland Crows is, like, an unusually large... What is it? Murder. Crows. Yeah,
there's,
I was going to say brood, and brood was incorrect.
Crows in Portland.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a little break so we can say hello to our visitors. And then we always like to play music that are from bands that are playing in town this week. I want to play, this is a band called Liquid Sun. They're playing at the world famous Kenton Club on Friday, which is tomorrow night. They, I believe, are from Austria, but they're like my favorite genre of music, which is like heavy psychedelic music. So they're playing tomorrow night. This is their song, Delirium.
Sweet.
split. Good times are ahead, I'm afraid. Strange new world. We'll be right back.
X-Ray FM is proudly supported by our friends at the Portland Mercury. The current City Guide issue is available at over 500 locations in the PDX metro area and everywhere online at portlandmercury.com.
Hello, 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 hello. We are back. This is Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. My name is Arthur Bradford, and if you're listening on Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026, you have tuned in to a live broadcast of this radio show. Not only that, we're live from the beautiful back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. We've got the Pizza Johnnies here. They brought some friends that they met. Did you guys meet at like a festival or something? Oh, wait, let me turn up. Okay, wait, say that again. You met at a festival?
At Shift.
At Shift.
At Shift last year.
What is Shift?
Shift is a local Burning Man-esque gathering.
Okay.
That was head by Tectonic for a while. And yeah.
And so, well, we'll have you introduce your friends when they are ready to talk. I don't know if they do. Do you guys want to talk on the radio? Nick would love to. Okay. Well, let me read some text messages. Please, if you're listening and you are at all inclined to text this show, don't be shy. We love text messages. You text it. I will read it out loud over the radio. Your text will go out to dozens of listeners who will just, maybe it'll change their mind about something, or maybe it'll just make them happy or entertain them. We've been talking with Jen DeBones, who had quite a dramatic week, I guess, just last week. Her dad showed up in town. They were going to go on a cruise, but then he started feeling shortness of breath, and she went over to his hotel room, and he was dead on the floor, and she did CPR on him, and he never really until it revived and he died.
It's an important reminder to spend quality time with the people that you care about, because yeah, you never know when you might not have a chance to do that again.
And so then she sent some pictures of her dad on a sailboat looking like very... It says, here's a picture of me with my dad on the sloop Clearwater and a picture of my parents in the Adirondacks this past Thanksgiving, or two Thanksgivings ago. Thanks for letting me share, Arthur and Mr. and Mrs. Pizza Johnny.
Thanks for sharing.
Here's the
pictures.
Yeah, so there's the dad and mom, and they're on the sloop Clearwater. Yeah, well, he seems like a really cool guy, and you know, I'm sorry that at least he got to have a long life, you know, which is not something everyone gets. Okay, this is a text that says, the bass line towards the end was amazing. Oh, that's that band Liquid Sky. I agree. I love that jam at the end. Is that the name of the band? Liquid Sky? Yeah. I think that's a good name. Oh, Liquid Sun. Excuse me.
I was going to say Liquid Sky used to be a record label in New York.
No, Liquid Sun is the name of that band. I apologize. They're playing with, I think it's called the Illa Project and Dilla Floor on Friday, July 3rd at the world famous Kenton Club, which is a really great place to see, that's tomorrow night. Someone signed a Ouija board thing and was saying we should try to get in touch with Jen DeBone's dad. It's probably a little...
It's early. Let the man rest a little bit first, and then we'll try and contact him.
You can't start Ouija boarding someone who died so recently.
Let him get settled in.
Yeah. Okay. The text number again is 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. We have the Pizza Johnnies here. We have their friends that they met at a festival called Shift, who I think we're going to say hi to momentarily. I want to ask you something, though, Miss Pizza Johnny. Have you seen Obsession? Did you see Obsession?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay, because we were texting about this movie. Like, she's gotten very animated and excited. How did you feel about it?
I mean, like, it's been out since May 15th, so, like, yeah, I can spoil-ish it. Yeah, okay. No real spoilers, but, like, really loved it. like a lot. I thought it was really good. I love to see underdog films do really well.
Yes.
What are they at? 300 and something million so far they've grossed. It was 750, just under $1 million to make it. And I think that's fantastic. In our little crappy local theater, they are still showing it, and they have moved it from the smallest theater to the main theater, which is only like 10 more seats. But still, I like to see that progress. I thought it was fantastic.
Totally.
Yeah, I thought the actors were good.
Uh-huh.
I thought the storyline, for being a repeat storyline, was done really well with its own little, flair.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, those creepy... I love a good creepy horror movie, and I love the story. I think it's so good for film culture when a low-budget film breaks out like that.
I mean, if you want to get deeper into the things of, the social aspects and whatever, we could spend lots of time doing that, but...
The social aspects of the
movie
plot?
And, the idea of, he took away her autonomy and
wait, here, get closer to the mic. Yeah.
He took away her autonomy and other things. I don't want to go too far into it because I said I wouldn't fully spoil it, but...
Okay.
There's some really interesting, levels and concepts there that you can look into.
Yeah, so. I feel like it's a movie that could be, analyzed in a lot, and that's okay, too. I think that's to its credit. I haven't really thought that it was just creepy, which I thought, and I thought the acting was excellent. I just thought the actors were really I'd never seen them before. I just liked seeing new people do cool stuff. This is a text that someone sent. It says, how do I avoid being a huge bummer at 4th of July gathering when I hate this country and its blood soaked past?
By stuffing your feelings and eating a hot dog, I guess.
You're such a bummer, man.
But you're not wrong. I mean, we're all thinking it.
No, I mean...
Yeah, you got to kill your liver by the river. That's what you have to do.
But I will say this, okay? Every country has a blood-soaked past, okay?
Right.
I'm not excusing America's past, but it's not... America is not... Except for our obsession with handguns right now, but we're not the only country like that either. But every country has a blood-soaked past, so I think it's valid what you're saying. But you can still love America and recognize that it has a blood-soaked past. I know you hate America, what you're saying, but I think you can acknowledge both things.
I said to eat a hot dog, and hot dog's here.
Yeah. A text coming in says, hot dog here. Burger Junk is playing at Star Bar on Tuesday 7/7. Burger Junk, good name for a band. I love Star Bar, too. 7/7. That's coming up this week. Okay. I'll look them up, and maybe we'll play one of their songs. Hot dog. Let's say hi to your friend here. Do you want to... Here, grab this mic. Your friends, both of you should... Wait, let me turn on this mic. Okay. Can you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Trixie.
Trixie?
Yeah, I'm Nick.
And you're Nick.
Yeah.
Okay. And you two met the Pizza Johnnies at a festival, is that correct?
Yeah, it was like a weekend-long rave on a hillside looking at Mount Adams and Mount Hood, just outside of Dufour or somewhere. I don't know where we were.
Uh-huh.
And they had this cool bus, school bus that they converted into a rad living space. And we rolled up in our van and said, hey, do you mind if we park right here? And they, just back it right here. Oh, man, and they were just the best fucking campmates ever.
Oh wait!
Ever
wait?
So good.
No F word or.
Oh, okay.
Words. Okay.
They were great campmates.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
So you were parked. How long was the festival?
4 days.
4 days.
Yeah.
Which is a long weekend. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh wait! And you guys did the ice cream too, right?
Oh yeah, we did ice cream and pizza.
Oh. Yeah. I had my robe on. So I was down there like ice cream Jesus, with you guys.
I remember that.
We had to put the cooler in the back of the bike to kind of truck it down
oh,
there.
Yeah, you helped us.
Yeah.
You guys are very helpful.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so oh, Nick, what? So Pizza Giant, we've talked about his Pizza Giant has a schoolie or school bus that they go to festivals and camp in. What? Tell me about your rig. What do you have?
Yeah, Nick? It's a Sprinter van.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's got this very big message on it that says "Love more."
Love more.
You can't miss it when we're going down the road. We're Portland based, so you'll see us.
And
it's inevitable.
And did where did you meet Trixie?
Trixie and I met in Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And we're both a long, 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 long time ago, originally from Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
And when we met in Santa Cruz, I said, "Well, where are you originally from?" And she goes, "And I go, no, no, really, before this." And she says, "Well, from Nashville." And I go, "Where in Nashville?" And she goes, "Brentwood." And I go, "Well, where did you grocery shop in Brentwood?" And she says, "Publix." I'm like, "Well, you know, there was a year a long time ago that you and I shopped at the same grocery store and we never saw each other. And here we are all these years later on the side of the road in Santa Cruz. And we were at Three Burns and never crossed paths, you know."
Bert, I can see how that would be the case, though. There's
yeah,
so
yeah,
many
right. That's yes.
It's literally a city,
right?
So you, what, Trixie? How many burns have you been to?
I've been to five.
Five burns.
I haven't been since COVID.
Okay. What? Oh wow,
that's a picture of the sound system at Shift.
Okay. wait. So when you are you do you all like to do psychedelic drugs when you're at these at the burns?
And we
the,
do and partake.
What is your what's your favorite psychedelic to do at this kind of gathering?
LSD, probably. I've gotten the most from LSD in my life.
Uh huh. I like good. Has to be. How do you ensure that you're getting good LSD? Like what? How? What's your sort of? Because I feel like that's very important. Like, it has to be pure LSD.
Right. Like, I like to trust my friends.
You just know that you have
friends. Right. It's always about trusting where the source is, trusting where it came from.
What's your favorite psychedelic drug?
LSD.
LSD.
Yeah.
So, tell me, like, your festival. Like, do you take LSD every night when you're at a festival, or do you space it out?
I learned that you can't do it every night for an extended period of time. It really wipes you out. I'm a old deadhead. So in my 18 years old, we would try to do it every single night on tour. And it wrecks you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I learned that a long time ago.
I do think doing LSD at a Grateful Dead show is like a primary psychedelic experience. Like, that's the original sort of OG. Emily Hempson in the house. Come on in.
My most blissful moments of my entire life have been dancing to the Grateful Dead on LSD. Absolutely.
What's the best Dead show that you ever saw?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. They blur together. It must be the LSD.
Did you see them? Because I only saw the Dead in the 90s. Like, that was my, and I think they were good in the 90s, but
yes,
I always wish
were.
I had seen them in the 80s.
Sure.
And I have friends who would see them, like, at the Greek Theater or Alpine, like those really epic venues, and
yes.
I wish I would have seen those shows and been on LSD at those
shows.
What
was your last show?
My first show was in 8.
Your last show.
My last show would be 95, the year that Jerry died. I saw a second to last show, and I had to take off to go to grad school, and I missed his last show, and I cried all the way to grad school. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I want to be doing this instead, but then Jerry died, and so I was glad I had another plan.
Were you like driving around in a what kind of, how were you following the Dead?
Well,
what was
I had a Volkswagen bus, and we blew it up without putting oil in it, and then we went on to Nissan minibus, a Mazda minivan, whatever, how many hippies we could get in there and their dog.
Nick, were you also a Deadhead?
No, I was not. In fact, I was never into any of the Grateful Dead's music until I met Trixie.
Okay.
And she turned me onto it, and we went and saw Dead & Co. And, you know, we dropped some acid. And that first show, I was like, oh.
Good.
Which, oh,
kind,
man.
Kind of an epiphany.
I really, yeah. I was about to use a word I can't use. But it was like, you know, where's this been all my life? And I really feel like I wasted my life not getting into this sooner.
No, you
I'm just
got there
grateful
late.
To be on the train now, but I would have really liked to jumped on a long time ago with
that's
you kids.
So funny. That's a great thought. I think there's a lot of people who have there's like an inverse of that thought, which is like that they like party too hard when they were young and wish they had waited till they were older to, you know, or spaced it out more. Some people, so anyways, that's a funny thought. That's a funny thought. I mean, that was the first time, the first time I like did psychedelics at any sort of like live music event was at Grateful Dead shows, and they were just like mind bending to me. Like, yeah. I was a totally, like, I still have not like experienced that in any other.
Yeah, although, no, the whole jam band thing. I wasn't really into that until, I mean, a few years before I met Trixie, my son said, hey, Dad, do you want to go see Phish?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, who's that? Uh-huh. And he's like, what? I'm like, he goes, you don't know who Fish? He goes, they're like this jam band. I'm like, well, I'm not really into jam bands. And he goes, listen, they're, you know, think Pink Floyd. You know, there's, there's a following of this band that's just like cult-like. And I'm like, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you want to go to a show? I go, yeah, let's go. Went. I was like, I'm a Fish head. Where's this been all my life? My son had to tell me about this. You know, I was like, oh, God.
People love, there's a lot of psychedelic drug use at Fish shows.
Yeah.
Like an amazing amount, I've noticed. And then everyone does nitrous outside the shows.
Oh, man.
I'm like amazed. Yeah. I always find that to be like so interesting.
You know, in the, there's some app that plays, shows, archives all the live concerts and plays, but I can't think of it. And my son said, hey, they were, you know, you can go to this app and listen to the same show that we saw live. And I was like, oh, cool. I listened to it. I called him. I said, look, it's not the same.
Uh-huh.
You've got to be there, in it.
That's true. I
was like, it's not even the same music, man.
I never listened to it. I've been to a few Fish shows and I've really enjoyed it. And I've never listened to their music.
You've got to be
music.
In it.
Yeah,
no, it's a group experience,
it is,
man.
It's really fun as a live experience, and there's something about it. I don't know. I can even like acknowledge that their songs are good. I just never listen to them. Okay, let me read some text messages. People have been texting in. We just to catch everybody up in case. Oh, and by the way, you are listening to X-Ray FM at KXRY Portland at 107.1 and 91.1 FM, streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. This is Sex, Drugs, and Basketball, and we are live from the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. The Pizza Johnnies are here, and they invited their friend Nick and their friend Trixie to come by, and they all met at a festival. And then Emily Hempson just showed up, so you're pretty much caught up. But please, if you're listening, and you would like to text in, please do so. 971-220-5979. That's 971-220-5979. You can also come by. We're here for almost another hour. We're at the Slingshot Lounge on the back porch, Southeast 56 in Foster. Come say hi. Okay, let me get to these texts. This says, my solution to the 4th of July booze, step one, or 4th of July blues, that was supposed to say. My solution to the 4th of July blues, step one, soak a watermelon in vodka. Step two, tune into X-Ray FM. Step three, hunt and kill an Englishman. Okay. I like step two and step one. Yeah, I mean, the 4th of July is coming up, but I grew up loving fireworks and the 4th of July celebrations, and I, even though, like, our president sucks and many other things about America are hard. Like, you can still celebrate the 4th of July.
I think it's important
still
to point
an
out,
awesome
like,
country.
There's a huge difference between patriotism and nationalism. Like, one of them actually has a little bit of a curve towards, like, I don't know, niceness and something that there's, like, a moral background to. Nationalism is just, you know, it's yay America for yay America's sake. There's nothing behind it. So be a patriot, not a nationalist.
Take it from Pizza Johnny. Okay, this text says, if you were the virgin queen of the world, would you apparatize the World Cup? I'm not really sure I understand what they're, like, something about a chastity belt, I believe.
Are they trying to, like, loop in the World Cup?
The World
well,
Cup?
Part,
the Virgin Queen? Well, we it's true. We haven't talked about the World Cup has
I will
been going on.
Talk World Cup with
you. Want to? Yeah. What? Let's see.
But then you got to bring it back to drug talk because I'm going to lose everyone else here.
Well, let's see. I have been watching it. I only started watching it the knockout rounds. I'm not that big a football soccer fan. But it's great. The U.S. is still in it. I'm always rooting for the underdog countries. I love seeing those, like, those little nations that do well.
We always root for the Netherlands because of Nico, of course, the Dutchman, right?
Well, they lost to Morocco, though.
Oh, they did, yeah. And Germany lost, too. And those are two heavy hitters that should have, theoretically, odds-wise, gone through and did not. So it's really cool to see the underdogs win. It's going to be very interesting to see how this bracket pans out. I'm happy to see that the U.S. is in. We are one of our best scorers. Cannot play next time because of that red card debacle.
I find that whole. I mean, as a basketball fan, I love and that's the sport that I love to watch. I do find that the penalty is so confusing in soccer, like the way they. If you hadn't tuned in, you don't know what happened. Like, the best player on the U.S. team is, like, suspended for the next game because he, like, kicked the guy in the wrong way. And it was pretty clear he didn't do it on purpose.
I'm not a professional, but that should have been a yellow, not a red. But
yeah,
I am not the ref of that game, so I don't get to make that decision. And they still won, which is great, but like there's
but
still a penalty next time. Yeah, so we'll see what happens between them and Belgium. It could go either way. So
that game is July 6th, I believe.
July 5th.
Oh.
July 5th?
Oh, I thought it was July. I think it's July 6th, and there's a watch party in Providence Park, I saw. And it's free. Okay, it's from Liesl. It says, "Hi, Arthur. Liesl here. Late for roll call. Good to hear from you, Liesl. You're never too late for roll call." This is Gendabone says, "You got to drop a lot of vitamin C when you take LSD." Do you agree with that, Nick and Trixie?
Let me turn up your
mics again. Yeah, we were. This was in. Oh yeah. I've never heard that. You need to take vitamin C.
Yeah, it's supposed to make the visuals.
It makes
stronger.
Them stronger.
That's what they say.
Okay.
I don't know if I buy into that personally, but you know, I have heard that.
I like to get my vitamin C this way, so kind of on the backside of it. I always like to have a very nice, luscious, organic orange. And you sit down. And you look at that thing in your hand and you smell it. Yeah, you know. And then you poke into it and start peeling it and it squirts a mist in the air that you just breathe in. Oh, and by the time you actually get to a bite, it's all the vitamin C your body needs.
This is on the as you're coming down from the backside of the trip.
Peak.
Yeah. Okay, after the peak.
You're still on the ride, but after the peak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We would always, during set break of a Grateful Dead show, go sit up on the bleachers and share an orange. It was
okay.
Just one of our rituals.
There you
I
go.
Don't know if it did anything.
Take it from some experienced. How many?
In high school, the kids would always pound a couple of glasses of orange juice before, but I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it's just tradition, right?
An orange is always part of my journey. I I pack accordingly. I'm ready for
how,
and I know I'm going to have the orange. I'm going to have the ribs. I'm going to have the fried chicken. You know, I'm in it to win it, man.
How
I came for this party.
How many times would you say you've taken LSD?
A bunch.
Like over 100?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, easy.
What about you, Trixie?
Probably over 100.
Over 200, do you think?
I have no idea.
Okay. Okay.
Clinically insane, apparently.
Yeah, you're clinically insane. Wow. Okay.
Wait, do you remember? They used to say if you got caught with a certain amount of acid, the charge would be this, that, and the other. And one of them was like, if you had 100 hits of acid, they would say, we're going to charge you with trying to overthrow the government. But now there's a bunch of people who actually tried to overthrow the government, and those dudes didn't really get in any trouble at all, so I don't really know what to believe anymore.
If you had 100 hits of LSD, they would charge you with trying to overthrow
the government?
It was like
the urban legend. This is what we were told when we were in like high school.
I mean,
Did you have high school LSD myths, Arthur?
I remember people would get, like, I remember the sort of scariness of people with getting busted for LSD and getting put away for a long amount of time. And so it did kind of freak me out about LSD. Like,
person that did so much LSD that he turned into a glass of orange juice and you couldn't touch them or they would fall over and they would think that they broke. Like, these are all psychedelic myths, right?
Yes, the psychedelic myths. Yes, I did hear about it. But I did also know kids in high school who, like, took more LSD than they should have and, like, kind of tripped out and spun off. Usually at Grateful Dead shows, like it was like. But
do you really think that was entirely the acid, or do you think that was a person who may have been dealing with some mental health issues?
They definitely had mental issues. That it was not. Yeah, it was not.
Yeah, don't blame the acid.
No, I don't. I think if you're, but I think there's a lot of kids like that though, and so you do want to, you know.
You should keep that in mind if you're going to do any drugs. If you're already teetering on the edge of some sort of mental health crisis, you may want to wait. Or that might also be the perfect time. I'm not sure. I think when we were going to raves and we were eating all these drugs when I was 18, 19 years old, I don't think one of the reasons, like, it makes sense that I was there looking for something that was healing at that time in my life. There was a lot of other chaotic stuff going on, stuff you had to deal with. And eating acid with a couple thousand of your closest friends in a dark room with a bunch of techno, that was healing at that time. So I don't know.
Yeah, my relationship with the medicines through the years have changed because in the beginning for me, they were drugs. And, you know, they were recreational and, you know, exploratory. And then that all changed. It probably in 2013 because I did this massive, massive dose of LSD. It was an accident. And, I came back out of that and now these things were like, okay, oh wow, you know, to this point in your life, you've used them recreationally. Now you've got a new relationship with them and you're going to use them as medicine and it's not just going to be, oh, let's go to the rave and, you know, it's, I'm going to sit in sacred space with these things and let them help you take you deeper into your own journey. And along that, you know, not just about LSD, but ketamine used to be one of my main recreational. I mean, dude, ketamine was my thing. I mean, just K-hole, just nonstop. And then when I came to ketamine as a healing medicine to treat some PTSD, it was a game changer. And so it wasn't about having a relationship with a drug, but holding space with the medicine. And, you know, LSD and you know, the psychedelics have, you know, I believe we all came to them on the fun side in the beginning, but we learned to respect the gifts that she's giving us each time we go there. And it becomes the healing medicine. And that's what keeps us really bound in this tribe, this big family of why we keep showing up to Dead & Co. or Fish or whoever, you know, because we're like, hey, it's good to see you again.
Yeah. How many festivals do you attend a year?
Not enough.
What about you, Trixie?
Not enough.
But so do you live in Portland full time? Like,
yeah.
This is your home.
Yep.
And what do you do for work here in Portland? Oh, I'm good. Or you don't want to say? Okay, you don't have to say.
Static, you're breaking up.
All right, you don't have to say. I was just curious about because it's hard to go to all those festivals sometimes depending on what your work is.
It does suck that they're expensive.
Yeah,
And that's a lot of times people talk about Burning Man like, oh, it's all expensive. Dude, look at a Burning Man ticket now versus just at a 3 or 4 day festival.
Uh-huh.
And the value of a Burning Man ticket is great because you go there and, you know, there's nobody selling you drinks or food. Everything's gifted.
Uh-huh.
And so once you just show up with your stuff and be able to survive and have some stuff to share. Uh-huh. And that ticket price covers you for a whole week of fun 24/7. There's no 10 o'clock curfew. The music is going nonstop. I mean, 70,000 people from around the world descending to the middle of nowhere in Nevada.
Uh-huh.
Black Rock Desert. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's seven. People say, what is, you know, tell me, what is Burning Man like? Here's what it is. It's 70,000 people having 70,000 unique experiences. Because whatever it needs to mean for you, that's what it's going to mean. That's going to be your experience. And it's 70,000 people sharing space with each other in that space and holding space for each other and going, yeah, this is as fun as it ever, ever gets.
All right. Well, let me read some text messages. We've been going down.
Shut that burner up.
Shut this burner up. Okay. This is Hot Dog says Hot Dog again. Thanks for the shout out, X-Ray. No burger junk tracks up yet. It's going to be our first show. Burger themed punk. Oh, I see. Okay. So the Burger Junk is your band. I didn't catch that. Okay. Well, then just know that Burger Junk is playing at Star Bar, which is an excellent venue on Tuesday 7/7. I would play your song if you had a track out. Okay. This is a text. It says, without acid, the Dead are a bar band playing too long and mostly out of tune. But Jerry was super cool regardless. Everyone's laughing at that, but I'm going to just disagree with you on that, by the way. The Dead were like, they were great musicians. Like, Jerry Garcia is objectively an amazing musician. Like, any guitarist will tell you that. So,
they did have a very receptive audience.
Yeah. I mean, they weren't great every night, but they were a phenomenal band. Like any musician would tell you that. This is a text. Oh, this is Genderbone says, I saw Fish really early at the Capitol Theater in Portchester. They were wearing superhero costumes back then, and someone was playing the vacuum cleaner. They played at the Roseland Theater here in 92 when I was working there doing food concession. No one bought food, but the fish heads lined up to come behind my food counter and bathe in the tiny sink I had. Good thing the health department wasn't there. Never got into Fish, but I love seeing the Grateful Dead. Saw them 29 times and the Jerry Garcia band 4 times. Wow. Yeah, the Dead. I think I probably saw the Dead like a dozen times. I loved every time I saw them, but maybe it wasn't that many. It felt like a dozen. This text says, Terrence McKenna once said to smoke a J on the come down of LSD to stick an oar into the psychedelic waters. Okay. That's a good bit. That's a good.
Always on the backside. It's always cannabis.
Cannabis
have
on the backside.
Have a big, your favorite blunt rolled up ready on the come down. Because sometimes, you know, it's like that come down is rough. It doesn't want to let go. It's like crawling across crushed glass on your knees. And it's like, oh, God. And you smoke that. And they're like, yeah. It just transitions out nice and smooth. So, yeah, Terrence, correct.
Well, that's why, Trixie, when I was asking about good LSD, because I feel like I have, especially when I was younger, I did what I don't think was like pure LSD. It was still like a good trip and everything, but you talk about that come down. There was like this, like when I feel like when you actually do really good LSD, there's not much of a, it's like you feel pretty awesome the next day. Like it's not like you feel like you just like went through a washing machine or something. Like it's,
you may have gotten some bad stuff on tour now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just with speed in it or something. It was, it just, it was somehow it wasn't the pure, or I don't know.
It can even be like a derivative. We had a friend in San Francisco area that had 1P LSD, which is supposed to be a like a legal derivative.
Uh-huh.
And what I noticed about the 1P LSD is that when you eat it, you feel this very strange feeling in your stomach where it's almost as if there's a box that's turning. Like you can feel the edges kind of turning end over end inside your belly.
Oh, that doesn't sound good.
And the experience itself is a little bit of like a clutchy sort of on edge kind of experience.
Uh-huh.
Compared to regular good LSD where it's a lot more relaxing and no discomfort in your stomach.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I for me, the worst come down has always been ecstasy.
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
Just.
I've had good ones and bad ones. Some where you come off of it very clean and it's very relaxing. Other times you feel like an idiot for 3 or 4 days and you wonder why you ever did that and it makes you feel bad about yourself. And yeah,
you know, you're like, was it worth it?
Yeah, it can be an emotional roller coaster.
Oh. All right, let me read one more text, and then let's say hi to Emily Hempson, who's been listening
waiting patiently,
politely to
give
our,
this girl a microphone.
Our drug talk. Liesl texting says, hold on, wait a second. I'm not a fish head either. I enjoy listening to them, but don't very often, but I love their shows. I wish I were more into the lore because it's so rich, but there's just so much. I just can't keep up. Doesn't matter. Fish shows are always so immersive, and I'm a HSP. Favorite music genre is psychic shoegaze. The heavier, the better. I also wish I were into the horror genre because the lore is so fun, but I just can't dive into everything. You know, favorite genre music, docs. Of course. Oops. Wait a second. Okay, Liesl said, I completely had the big healing experience, particularly with Molly, and I continue to heal with shroomies, my BFF and my favorite drug. Yeah, mushrooms are also a good psychedelic experience.
Don't combine those mushrooms with alcohol at all.
He tried to sell my feet to Putin.
Wait, he said try to what?
That was only once.
Yeah. He tried to sell my feet to Putin. He thought that he would be able to get rid of the Ukraine conflict if he sold my feet to Putin.
Your feet.
Yeah.
It was going to be a good trade. He's going to trade her feet
on
to Putin.
On mushrooms and alcohol?
Show us the feet. Show us the feet.
Yeah.
I had a handful of her feet underneath a blanket, like right in my face at the time. That's where the idea came from.
I want to see them. Show us those feet.
Okay,
so
Emily.
See the piggies?
Emily Hempson, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Every time I come here and the Pizza Johnnies are here, I just want to do LSD. I feel like, this is actually propaganda at this point. It's like literally everyone's, it will change your life. I'm just like, what am I missing out on this whole time?
Wait,
I've just been living, but I didn't know. No one told me till like recently, and you were here when it happened, and now.
And we are not cartoons.
Yeah.
I think we found out.
Are you sure?
We found out last time everyone purposely didn't tell you about LSD
I
in
know,
high school.
That's how it felt. I keep asking people I know. I'm like, oh, have you done LSD? They're like, yeah, I have, actually. I did have a friend. She was in town recently. She's like my childhood friend, and she also has never been offered LSD in her life. And I was like, we spent a lot of time together, so.
And you grew up here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the suburbs, like a boring suburb, you know? Not even a cool one. Not like Selwood.
I grew up in a farm town. Like, I think your chances were better.
Uh-huh. I don't know.
That's okay.
I think I just wasn't cool enough, which is upsetting.
Liesl texts again and says, HSP is highly sensitive person.
Oh, I'm so happy that was, I couldn't figure it
out. I didn't
know
what it was. And then, for me, any come down is rough for synthetic drugs, but non-existent for nature drugs. Wait, so you've never, Emily, you've never done mushrooms?
I took a mushroom once, but I was very high, just like with weed. So I don't know
if it affected me. I did then make out with someone after, and like, I do feel like my head was like not on my body, which was kind of fun. But like, I don't know if that was the mushrooms or I was just really high or I was just like, you know, in the moment. So I don't know. So yeah, that is, where was I with that? That's my extent of
mushroom experience.
And then I haven't done anything other than I did Molly like twice and was like, oh, I love this, you know, and I've done like cocaine like once and was like, this is fine.
Are you coming from an open mic as usual?
I am, and it did not go well tonight.
It didn't go well.
It did not. You know what? Also, I am going to start turning on audiences when they don't laugh at me. I was in this thing in McMinnville on Friday. I did a show in McMinnville, and I have to say, I rarely have a hard time with a crowd. I'm sorry. Now I'm like, let me tell you my story.
Yeah, we want to hear it.
Here it is. But I feel like they like me. I'm fine, you know, most of the time in Portland. And I went to McMinnville, and I was wearing a skirt. It was shorts, a skirt, but it was probably short, you know, and the crowd was just, I don't know, McMinnville. I like went in hard making fun of their water park because it's insane. They have like a plane on top of a building and I have a whole history with it. I don't know. I don't think I started well, but it was just, these people did not like me. And then we had like a competition. It was, you had to vote for people to win, which didn't make any sense. It was like two guys, two women, and I was not similar to them. And I got fourth place out of the four. I've never done that bad in comedy before, and it was terrible. And at the end of it, I thought it would have been the funniest thing if I could have turned against the audience and just been like, you don't matter to me. You know what I mean? Like, really angrily be like, I don't care what you think of me. Like, oh, why? Why'd you do it? Just, that's how I want to be from now on, is be a little more aggressive with the crowd. Oh, yeah, and that was all of me telling you that tonight the crowd just didn't really like me. I do feel like it's my outfit, actually.
I want to agree with you. You should give them the business, but I don't think it was the outfit.
You think I wasn't funny? Is that what you're trying to say to me? I am very funny.
I walked into that.
These jokes have worked before.
The outfit is good, though. It's a good outfit.
It's just like not. No one takes me seriously when I'm still
like hung up on that. Do you think that when you made fun of the water park in McMinnville, they like that was like a sensitive subject?
Well,
because
then I started going in on the man. I worked on like the ad. This is on the radio. I think that's fine. This is fine. I just pretend like the ad campaign when it opened and they just like the guy who owned it was like bizarre. And I feel like I was starting to lean into that. And then I thought, oh my God, why am I talking about this? It's just because I've been in my car for a long time getting to McMinnville. And I realized you could be related to this man, you know, and he was just like a weird rich man who built this crazy.
Yeah, that
Air
is
museum.
Do you feel like partway into it, you started to second guess it for that
reason? Oh, I started second guessing everything.
Do you think
the
audience could feel the second guessing? Probably. Is that why they turned on
you?
And
you know what? They did laugh fine, but they just didn't love me. And I do also think then I just went into like just sex jokes, and I don't think that was the move. I think I should have not done that. Then followed it up with dad material. I don't know. It just wasn't my best lineup. And I came in fourth place, and that...
You're making me laugh.
I just wish I had attacked the audience. I think it would have been so funny that if it was acceptable, I wish I'd just gone for it. You know what I mean? Because they wouldn't have liked it, though. They wouldn't have appreciated what I did.
Yeah, but at that point, it's not for them anymore. They've already rejected you, so make it for you at that point.
It's like me. I don't care about any of you.
All right, let's go to the text message. Liesl says... however, an exception, I never have a problem when coming down from Xanax. This was an exception to the nature of drugs.
I don't notice what Xanax is doing until I try and like perform the razzle dazzle and I fall off the bed. That's the only time I've ever really been aware that Xanax was doing something is when we like had a guest in the bedroom and I was like, ooh, this is going to be real cool. And then I noticed I was real clumsy instead.
Yeah, Xanax just makes me sleepy. I was like, that's my only experience from taking it, is that it's like, it makes me like very sleepy, which it's not a bad thing, but it's not like a drug that I would take to do anything with.
The Quaaludes. What happened with the Quaaludes?
Oh, I did. I haven't taken them. I do own a Quaalude.
I am looking forward to a Quaalude story.
I don't know. I showed it to one friend and he was like skeptical that it was a Quaalude. But I still have it.
They haven't been around for a long time.
Yeah. I just don't understand how they eliminated Quaaludes from the population. Like,
well, so
like,
they still, that drug still exists in South Africa, because I saw somebody's YouTube thing about it. It's a common street drug there. They mix it with like the world's crappiest weed and they smoke it. So someone is still manufacturing it illicitly, but it's just, I guess, mostly locally in South Africa.
Well,
Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia, I think, was what I saw it on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't found, the other thing is I've heard you're really not supposed to mix Quaaludes with alcohol ever.
Yeah,
and
yeah, probably not.
So I haven't really found the I don't know, the time or the place, but I'll at some point I'll let you know how it goes.
It's like you're scared that if you take it, you're like, oh, I'm going to want to drink. I'm going to need a beer. I can't do it.
No, but it's
unless
like,
I got a beer, I got to have one.
I haven't figured out what the right time and place for taking a Quaalude is, actually. Like, have you ever taken Quaaludes, Trixie?
I'm too young to have experienced the Quaalude thing. I mean, my babysitter used to watch me on Quaaludes, but I myself have never done any.
Okay.
Well, that makes me wonder now, like, is it best done as, like, a solitary experience? Do you just, like, you know, do this by yourself in a hotel room somewhere?
No, I'm gonna...
Do you go home with the wife and kids around, and you're like, guess what, honey, I'm trying Quaaludes out tonight?
Yeah, I think it's that you wanna... Yeah, you just need to be in one place and, like, hanging out with friends or someone that, you know, you're... I don't know. I haven't quite figured it out. I don't think you wanna be, like, traveling anywhere when you're on Quaaludes. You want to just be in one place. But I, you know, listen to
not at a bar. Nowhere near a beer for Arthur. Nowhere near a drink. He's very concerned.
No, it's not really. It's like if you're going out, then you can't drink. Like if you're drinking like ginger ale and stuff while you're.
You'll go to the bar and you're like, or a beer. I need a real ale.
But when you go out to social events on LSD,
I think you can have a beer
either.
When you're on Quaaludes. It's just you don't like.
No, you can't. No alcohol. Stop trying to justify it ahead of time.
No, people have died mixing alcohol with Quaaludes. That's what I've heard. So you don't want to mess with it.
You're very concerned. You say, I can't do
it. If it's GHB, you just pee your pants.
Yeah. Okay. Let me read some. Okay, this is a text. It says, it was probably the outfit. This is in reference to you, Emily. Making fun of a water park dressed like a stork is bound to go wrong.
Wait, who said this? How did they? Am I?
Were you at
like
the show?
I do feel like I'm dressed like a stork a little bit, actually.
Did you say you were dressed like a stork?
I didn't
think you look like a stork.
Do we all think I look like a stork now, though? I actually feel
really.
Upset by this a little bit.
Somehow this texter. And
I was like, they're watching us.
And then that same texter said, you should probably take that Quaalude now.
Do it.
That would be a mistake because I've only got... I don't know.
Because he's near alcohol, it can't be.
I've already had my beer.
It's too late.
I'm a big fan of doing the right drug at the right time and the right place. You don't just like casually pop a Quaalude, you know.
Sometimes you do rip a rail of cocaine off of the dildozer in the parking lot of this particular bar, though.
Cocaine's a much more casual drug, though. Let's be honest. Like you can
do it anywhere. Airplanes.
Yeah, I mean,
what is your life? I have more questions about that, by the way. I did, on the way here, hear your pegging situation. I was like, wait, is there a pegging part of your life? Do you peg him? Do you like
she
getting pegged?
Not,
no. I'm just so fascinated. I'm sorry, was that
somebody
a
said that they pegged me at Steam, and really my thing was I've never been to Steam. I didn't say anything about never being pegged.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. That was it. That's
no,
the part I heard.
No, the thing that I keep going... Wait, is that the thing with the ginger? Is that with the ginger?
Oh, that's pegging.
Oh, pegging. Thank you so much.
Pegging.
What?
Of course, you're a step above whatever I'm saying. I'm like pegging.
Pegging
like,
is inserting some ginger into a willing recipient's anus.
That's called figging?
Figging, yeah, and it's supposed to be very stingy. If you think putting raw ginger on your tongue is very stingy.
Wow.
But I was
so.
Getting that confused with pegging, and that's why I was...
Wow. Ginger up the butt?
Up the wazoo, yeah.
Isn't it weird to have given that a name, though, and not just been like, it's just ginger?
But why is it called figging? I almost think
it's one of those things that people, like, they made that term up performing it. They weren't like, oh, this is something I do, now it needs a name. They thought of it and then decided, let's call it this.
Yeah.
Okay, let me read this text. It says, jokes usually only work on like minds, zombies or drunks. I think that's in reference to your stand-up experience.
I was funny, I promise. I was funny.
I've seen
my story didn't work as
Seen Emily perform stand-up. She is very funny, and I have a feeling she's being self-deprecating when she said
I did come in fourth place, though.
Yeah, actually, you did come in fourth.
And then the host was, like, embarrassed to tell me. I was like, do you think I'm going to cry about this show in McMinnville with your water park and the air? I'm sorry.
I can feel you really looking down on the people of McMinnville.
Yeah, I am, actually. I hate every single one of them, actually.
Fourth place in McMinnville.
I'm sorry, McMinnville listeners.
Your therapist is going to make so much money on this. Fourth place in McMinnville.
No.
I think you should own up.
For years.
For me.
I was going to say, like, own up to it. Like, when people are like, what have you done? You'd be like, oh, I've done this and I've done this. Yeah. I got fourth place in McMinnville.
Fourth place in a useless competition that didn't need to be part of the show, actually. Was not necessary. And the two men won, and then me and the other girl were 1 point apart, and I gave her a better standing than she gave me. So, you know what? We were tied as the worst, really. Sorry.
Okay, wait, let me read this text message. Liesl says, oh, wow, I got to try the ginger. Is it safe, like, bacterial-wise?
It is safe bacterial-wise, and I know this from the Survivor Man guy. He was talking about how when you eat things through your butt, you don't have to worry about the same sort of, like, contamination issues that you would have to worry about if you were eating spoiled food or drinking contaminated water. If you're putting contaminated water in your butt, it's not as big a thing. Anyway, back to putting ginger in your butt. Yeah, it just stings a whole lot, and you don't really have to worry about the bacterial issue. I think you'll be just fine. It's important that you know that.
Okay.
Oh, you want to peel it. Yeah, you don't want to leave the skin on. Yeah, you peel the ginger.
Peel the ginger.
That's important.
I feel like ginger is, like, somehow antibacterial, too.
It probably is. It calms the stomach. But
we got a text. Someone sent a picture of they're at the Kurt Vile show at Revolution Hall. It says, Kurt Vile rocking Rev Hall tonight. Well, thanks for taking the time to send us a picture. Are you listening to the show while you're at the Kurt Vile show? That would be
that
funny.
That sounds rude.
Not rude. And then this is J-Hops. Says, this is J-Hops. I'm driving, so I'm using voice to text, and it's always causing problems. I don't know why, but it turned the word squirt into stork. I just want to reassure you that you look nothing like a stork. Oh, that explains why he said that.
But I find it disturbing that all of us were like, do I look like a stork? And I was like, I think I do.
Or wondering if he was at the show or watching you right now.
Just like, I'm top heavy. You know
but
what
a
I mean?
Squirt, like, because you had used the word, like, it's like half. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Oh, that explains a lot. Okay.
But it
well,
did feel like I maybe had a fun stalker for 1 second. A little.
Who said you were dressed like a squirt? Okay. We're going to take a quick break. We love to play music from bands that are playing in town this week. Wolf Mother is playing tomorrow night at Revolution Hall. They're a really fun live band. If you've never seen them, really, really, like, super entertaining. So this is Love Train by Wolf Mother.
I saw different faces and different places. I gotta get back. I'll tell you all the story about the joker and the thief, sir. That's all about the joker and the thief in the night.
X-Ray FM is supported by Slingshot Lounge. Located in southeast Portland on the corner of 56th and Foster, Slingshot Lounge offers an expansive game room, scratch cocktails, and a craft kitchen with a full menu until 2 a.m. Happy hour available weekdays from 3 to 7, and brunch weekends from noon to 4. Slingshot Lounge, decentralizing Portland since 2007.
Hello, 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 hello. We are back. This is Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. My name is Arthur Bradford. And if you are listening on Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026, you have tuned into a live broadcast of Sex, Drugs, and Basketball. We have had a really fun show. We are live here on the back porch of the Slingshot Lounge. Let me just go right to the text because Emily Hampson's super excited about this text someone sent. Do you want to read this one?
Is the CIA worked out of McMinnville using Evergreen Airways as cover. Yeah, that was
that
the guy,
really
the guy
true?
Who owned it.
Is that
his
true?
His name
or
is Bill or something. He was like so weirdly secretive about things. What if I just, someone's going to take me out. Don't say that about him. He's not alive anymore, but it was like, yeah, Evergreen Airways. He had all this money. He didn't like how a building was being built. So he like made them take it down and move it like a few inches. Like he was, it was like, is that money laundering? It feels like that's also probably in there. But, like, I mean, no, it's not. Ah, the radio. I just think, yeah, it's crazy. And I got very into this idea while I was up on stage. And then I realized some of you probably related to this man. So then I wanted to back out.
And in case anyone doesn't, if we're talking, if you haven't been to this, it's a really bizarre, if you drive out to McMinnville sort of towards the coast, there's this bizarre water park and an aviation museum that are just by the side of the road.
The like, Spruce Goose used to also be there. I don't know if it still is. And there's a very elaborate, like, car.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of things that, like, a kid played with when they played, like, with toys. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a hole in the roof right now.
Oh, really? But it... Oh, okay. So the roof apparently got hit in McMinnville of that museum, and they're not sure if they can keep it open. Yeah, it very much feels like the folly or passion of a, like, wealthy, eccentric person, like, put this aviation museum in the middle of a, like, fairly rural area, and then also built a water park. But I can
Where
see
you
him.
Have you ever seen that film, the Leonardo DiCaprio, that does the Howard Hughes about...
Oh, yes, yeah. Yeah, that, what was that? That was,
I can't remember the name
yeah,
of it,
Leonardo, it's true, the Leonardo.
The Aviator.
It was the Aviator, of course, the Aviator.
A water park on the Oregon coast? Like, we have the worst weather for like beach activities. True, so someone decided a water park is a good
idea
there?
Well, see, he was like, I want them to go out of an airplane. So you go out of, like, you get into the 747, and then the slide goes down out of it.
Is it just one slide? Is that
There's
it for
a
the
few
whole park?
In it.
Wait,
I think
in the airplane?
In the park. I mean, I never saw it, like, fully running because it was, like, when it was opening.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You didn't know. Well, the advertising worked poorly. I didn't end up working on the campaign. I just need to know that.
No,
it's the only water park. Yeah. I wish. But they just kept saying to us when they were briefing us, they kept going, life is water. Water is life. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, what does that mean? Why? And I just think that's that man, the CIA guy. He clearly had trauma.
Is that, yeah, I'm curious whether that texter, like, is that based
they know,
on...
No, it's a thing. He's a real man.
Is that just a rumor, or is that actually...
No, like a real
Evergreen
man.
Airways, are they,
but,
they're what the planes
but,
are.
So is there some, but that's actually, that's is that just like a theory that people have, or do we know that
it's
as a
real.
Fact, that the CIA works out of
I was told he works
It sounds believable, but,
He is, yeah, his name is... I don't remember his name.
Spruce Goose is there.
It is
someone
there.
Said they're not moving it. It's the largest airplane ever built. Yeah, that is the story. The Aviator with my memory of that movie is that it's like one half of it is really awesome, and then the second half kind of goes off the rails. I can't remember if
like Full Metal Jacket.
It's a little bit like that. Like I like both halves of Full Metal Jacket, but the.
It's the descent into Howard Hughes madness.
Yeah,
right?
When he starts peeing in everything. So at some point, I remember thinking the movie lost its long fingernails and toenails and the box of tissues. Maybe that was it.
It was the box of tissues. Yeah. I know.
Oh. Okay. That same texter said, and the first nationally recognized sightings of flying saucers happened in McMinnville.
Oh, that's why they do the UFO festival there, yeah. Right? Okay. We've been wanting to go to that. We haven't done it.
I got a special commemorative thing about the UFO festival after I performed. My one fan was
like
a bartender.
A coin or something?
It just glows in the dark. It was a piece of plastic that said UFO fest. I should have brought it with me.
There's like sort of an energy vortex there, I guess. Well, okay.
My jokes. Oh.
All right. We're getting into the final minutes of this show. So I want to thank everyone for texting in. It's always nice when people text in. So, thank you to, everyone who did that. Hot Dog and Liesl and J Hops and gosh, I don't even, Gender Bones, yeah, lots of great texts tonight. Pizza Johnny's, any like final thoughts?
I think somebody should bring some LSD for Emily so that she can try it and have the experience.
Live on the radio.
Live on the radio. Well, probably don't say out loud that that's what you're doing, but someone, please, bring it to her.
I think I'll be able to keep that in my head.
So what we were remembering is last time that Emily and the Pizza Johnny's were on this show, it was like a few months ago. And we happened to be talking about LSD, and then this guy who was in the bar, like, heard us talking, and he came over and he said he had 35 hits of LSD
in
his freezer, and he was like offering to like dose Emily right on the, anyways, didn't happen, but.
He said, put it in me. That's how it works.
Get it in.
Okay. Ms. Pizza Johnny, any final thoughts for the evening?
No words of wisdom from this corner.
No words.
Who's got 2 pounds of ginger? What's that?
Oh, yeah. This is a text that says, I got like 2 pounds of ginger for about $1.75 at Kroger the other day. It's Tater Tot. Good to hear from you, Tater Tot. Nick, any final thoughts?
Love more. Fear less.
Love more, fear less. Nice.
Why not?
Trixie is saying no, she doesn't have any final thoughts. Okay. Emily?
Emily
does have final thoughts.
If you are free on August 4th.
Oh, yeah.
Come and watch me in Portland's Funniest Competition.
Oh,
because I want to make it to the next round, and I'm now nervous.
Yeah, you got
to. I'm going to have to turn against the crowd if I don't place in the top three. So you can come and vote for me. Yeah, exactly.
When is it? Tell
August 4th.
August 4th.
At Helium Comedy Club. I'll only get to do like 4 minutes. But then if you don't actually like me,
And then the audience votes?
7 p.m.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, we're going to talk that up. We're going to get Emily at least 4 or 5 votes.
Come on.
This show.
Come on. Take me to the top.
All right. Please stay tuned for... Pete's Space and Beyond is on next, and you can find us on Instagram at Sex Drugs Basketball Radio Show, and please follow us. We would love that. I will tell you if I'm going to be here on the at the Slingshot Lounge or whether I'm out of town or somewhere else. And you can also find old episodes of the show at xray.fm. Bye. Thank you.